It's Thursday, July 14th, and you're tuned in to the 10MB Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world.
World.
Man, summer is going by fast. I don't know about you, but it is flying.
Is it? Are we in like mid-summer?
That's what I'm saying. But I feel like because it hasn't been like truly hot in like for in a consistent while. Period,
yeah.
I just feel like we're still in spring.
Well,
and soon it's going to be over and then back to the snow. And then
hell yeah, brother.
There's only one silver lining to this.
Which is?
The closer we get to fall, the closer I am to getting my car.
Oh, true.
That's the only thing.
Delayed and all this.
I mean, like, end of July, but I just don't believe that.
End of July? Yeah, it's not that far. It's not the end of summer.
I don't believe that the car is coming end of July.
Oh, okay.
I believe all it's right. coming, like, October 1st.
September 1st.
Anyways, if we're on the other side of the great Rogers internet outage.
Dude. Damn, not homies. Since the great Niagara power outage have people lost their minds.
And this was really only for like 14 hours, 12 hours.
Yep.
But yeah, our world has become so interconnected via one resource.
Dude, this is why we need more than 3 megacorps running telecoms in this country.
Absolutely.
Goddamn.
Absolutely. I was less, like, I didn't care too much about losing my personal access to the internet. It was more about all the other things surrounding it. Like, when Interac went down.
So, I guess for people who aren't in Canada, you probably saw the news.
Canada outage.
Yeah, we have three big telecom companies. We have Bell, we have Rogers, and we have TELUS.
Yeah.
Okay? And basically, any other company that exists in telecom piggybacks off of their lines by law.
Yeah.
Because
I should tell you this too. Bell and TELUS actually share a network.
Yes.
So there's really only two networks.
Two.
Yeah.
So if you see like Fido here or Freedom Mobile or whatever, they're piggybacking off of the big two lines.
Yeah.
And what happened is that Rogers, one of the big ones,
that's the one,
had a Canada-wide outage.
Yeah.
For almost a whole day.
Yeah,
and like, I heard stories about people fiending, like they're like the world was gonna end. It was, Anthony.
I woke up and I couldn't go to work.
Dude, one of my friends was like, "I can't believe how much of an inconvenience this has caused me." I went out to the McDonald's and I couldn't even do a mobile order. And I'm like,
"Are you kidding me?" It's what? Like this that, is like that the, was the problem.
It's like the most city shit I've ever heard in my life. Dude. Apparently at work, there were people in the elevator, like salespeople, who were like, "Hey, do you have any of that news? You got any of that news? But you know what's going on in the world?" Like, it's like, dude, relax. Disconnect. It's okay. As someone who has spent the last 11 years talking into the internet, it's okay.
I think the difference just is that it's because it was just Canada. Like, it wasn't like a larger than a national.
Yeah.
So, like, the world was still moving forward. So I understand why people were concerned, like especially if you're into like stocks and shit, and like
you know, if you're into investing, you got to know what's popping off.
Yeah, banking's going down, like oof. But yeah, so we had an outage. Obviously, if you were subscribed to Rogers, you lost all your services, mobile,
internet, television, like basically everything.
Yeah, everything. But more than that, a lot of Canada's, let's say,
digital infrastructure,
is unsurprisingly on Rogers.
Dude, you want to use Interact?
That was gone.
And I'm talking like any Interact.
Yeah. That
credit,
was gone.
Still A-okay. But you want to use Interact.
Credit was okay, but if the business you went to was on Rogers, it
fucked.
Didn't matter.
It did not matter.
So a lot of people went cash only. And you know who carries cash in 2022?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Unless you're in like Asia, I guess. But
yeah, unless you're Japan. But and then there's other things too, like emergency services. You couldn't contact them.
Yep.
There was a lot of stuff that just failed to work for a good day. To be honest, I was in bed, and usually around 9 o'clock, we'll say, my phone starts to ping, like with messages from work. Like,
okay, I need this spreadsheet.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I was like, oh man, no one's pinging me. Must be a nice day. Must be a good day. I just chilled in bed till like 12. Got up. I didn't even check my phone because I didn't hear any dings, and I just was moving very slow.
Yeah.
Made breakfast. And it was only until I had food and coffee in hand, I sat down, turned on the PlayStation and try to boot into YouTube, yeah, and it didn't connect. I was like, that's weird.
How odd.
Let's try the Apple TV. What? Why isn't this working? That's so weird. Okay, how about we just try my iPhone?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on here?
And it took me like a good 15 minutes to realize, oh, it's global.
It's gone. And by global, I mean Canada. Or sorry,
not global. It's national. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess that's why no one's pinging me.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I have two internet sources here.
Okay. Both down?
No, one's Bell.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I just reconnected to that one. I was all like, right. And then I looked in and I'm like, huh, okay. So I guess this isn't another long weekend. Cool.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And you know, for a Canada-wide outage on like 50% of services countrywide.
Yes.
You know what Rogers has given customers?
A credit.
5 days of credit.
I mean, like, so first of all, credit, I think everyone expected, like, that's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But I feel for the people who aren't on Rogers that, like, this shit really affected.
We didn't really affect, I guess.
I mean, like, it was an inconvenience to most people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Fair.
Right?
Fair
and,
enough.
Like, it deals with the people, like, it doesn't matter if you're on Bell, but now you can't access your banks.
If you live in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't access your banks because another provider fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like,
it's time for the great telecom wars.
No, let's do it. Let's do it.
Make one mega monopoly. City OS. Sleep. Was it Watch Dogs? Yeah, Watch Dogs.
That's the one.
Real life.
Yeah. The Legion.
Did you play that? Did anybody play that? Did that come out?
No, I heard the... which one?
Legion.
Oh, no. I didn't play that shit. Okay. No.
Because 2 was awesome.
Okay.
That game's sick.
Yeah. So that was the great Rogers outage of 2022. Yeah. It's nice. I went biking.
All right.
It was nice.
Cool.
It was wicked.
I saw the internet, so I had to work. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw an email go out across my entire work field that said, Rogers services are down. This is not affecting our company and all our networks. We are fully operational. I was like, how do you expect us to read this if half of us are on?
We're on Rogers.
Yeah. So I was like, whatever. I don't care.
You just got to know. Got to be psychic.
Apparently. Yeah, I ignored it. Whatever. No one batted an eye. It was good.
All right.
It was nice.
Cool.
It was wicked.
But yeah, people were freaking out. So
yeah, hey,
guys, just it's okay.
Yeah,
we'll go on without the internet.
Okay? Yeah,
one bad sun flare, and it's all gone, anyways.
Wow.
All right.
So optimistic
that we can go back to the good old days. Yes.
Yeah. So that was that. Now let's talk about some other stuff that happened this week.
Hell yeah! It's been an exciting news week.
Has it?
It has, dude.
Has it?
Haven't you heard?
No.
Did you know that Hideo Kojima is a murderer?
No. Oh, man, that was messed up.
So first off, I'm gonna get a little political here. There was an assassination in Japan.
I heard. No, how could you not?
Exactly. Well, if your Rogers was down, you didn't hear shit. So former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was assassinated during a political speech in. Oh, I forget where it was. It was in Japan.
But dude, that's like movie level shit the way it happened.
Yeah. So this guy was like, I don't like this dude. I don't like this Shinzo Abe guy. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make a gun.
Yeah, like that's the wildest part of the story.
So the thing was, in Japan, getting a gun is like impossible unless it's airsoft. I think the stat for average death by gun but from a police officer in Japan is like 0.4 deaths a year or some shit.
Yeah.
Like they have them, they don't really use them. But what happened was this guy built like a Doom double barrel
so
in
like,
his bedroom.
That's the thing, right? Like when we say he built a gun, it does not look like any firearm you have seen.
It was like two metal pipes nailed to a plank of wood, which was then connected via hose to a trigger system. And I think it was apparently he used like black powder to just shoot off a bunch of metal bits. Like it was it was like a homemade video game shotgun.
Like the man MacGyvered this shit.
Yeah.
Like
it was crazy.
On one level, it's kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not a very good thing.
And unfortunately, it resulted in Shinzo Abe's death. But political pundits from across the globe, they just...
Here we go.
They cannot...
Here we go.
They cannot, like, just shut the fuck up. They need, everything needs to be, oh, look, this is my opportunity to talk some dog shit. So there was a French right-leaning politician, Damien Rieu. Rieu, I don't know how to pronounce that in French. R-I-E-U. Because of this assassination, he immediately, without proof, accused the far left, the quote, far left, unquote, of murdering Shinzo Abe because he was a right-leaning politician. And to show who said extremist was, the murderer, before it was even revealed who the murderer was, he just posted up pictures of Hideo Kojima on his Twitter.
Like, dude, what? What?
Maybe we really do need the Patriots, you know? Remember that speech in Metal Gear 2 when he's like, we're not creating content, we're creating context. Because there's so much,
oh, shut
dude,
up.
There's so much garbage on the internet. Dude, maybe we need GW to make context for all the garbage that's on the internet. And so in response to this, Kojima Productions has threatened legal action.
I would threaten legal action. Hell yeah.
Against
what?
These people. It was like deleted very quickly, but still, that was like shitty politically. It was also not well timed because the murder literally just happened. And also, it's racist because they just picked a random Japanese guy. And it was
it's Kojima of all people.
Dude, I knew it. He's coming after those political leanings in his games. They're not for show. He's coming for you, kid.
Yeah, like that. I don't know, man. That's ridiculous.
It's so crazy.
And then there's like all the other stuff where it's like, see, look at Japan. They have no guns, and yet they still died by gun.
Yeah, and it's like,
did you see the gun he made?
Did you see? Like, this guy was, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. He made this out of pocket sand. Like,
yeah, and he's
fuck?
Like, this is the first murder in what? How long?
Yeah.
Right? It's not like we're shooting up kids.
Yeah, it's like when, oh, it's like when people, they're like, well, Australia banned guns and knife killings went up. And it's like, A, duh. B, much better than what's going on in Texas. I don't know, whatever. So yeah, go rewatch the Raiden speech with the colonel, the fake colonel in the end of Metal Gear Solid 2, where he talks about how the AI is needed because the internet is going to just bring out so much bullshit that nobody can tell real from fake anymore, and you'll realize that Kojima was a prophet. So check that shit out. Listen,
you shut up.
He's going to turn water into wine one day, and I'm going to be like, damn.
Oh my God.
Being a weeb was the right choice.
Really?
I picked the right religion.
Hold up. That's the moral of this story. Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's the moral of the story. And keeping on the political front, do you know, if I say the name Ken Akamatsu, do you know who I am referencing?
It sounds familiar, but I have to say no.
Ken Akamatsu is the creator behind Love Hina.
Oh.
And also his more recent one, UQ Holder, which takes place in the
yes,
same...
Yes, I know UQ Holder. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
So he has been, for like the past 2-3 years, he has been an outspoken, advocate for not censoring art in Japan.
Okay.
There's, you know, art... Like,
art people, like, what do you mean not censoring?
Like, people in Japan, they like to draw some questionably aged ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Like, really old?
Yeah, or the opposite.
Okay.
You know? And recently, a popular movement in Japan and some parts of Asia has been to try and limit what artists can draw, what kind of stories artists can create. And he has come out as like almost a free speech absolutionist when it comes to art, where he's like, you should be able to make anything you want to make because it's not real. Right, like they're just drawings and stuff like that, and he did what no other mangaka has ever done, and he became the first manga artist elected into Japanese parliament.
The fuck?
Yeah. Ken Akamatsu is now a representative. Akamatsu will represent the entire nation of Japan in the House of Councilors, the upper house, for the Liberal Democratic Party.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was
voted in. Akamatsu on his Twitter account. This is a translated tweet, so if it's not perfect, don't kill me. This result means the birth of the first manga artist to become a member of the Diet. I believe Japan will be transformed. I will work hard to fulfill my promises so that I will not betray the voters who have placed their hopes in me and voted for me, and so that I will not be ashamed of being a representative for all people. He's basically going to focus on media, arts, and entertainment. And one of his first, I guess, pieces of action he's going to try and do is I can't believe
you're going to tell me some bullshit.
Dude, right. He created a task force.
Excuse me?
A task force. Yesterday at 8 p.m., the Digital Archive Society's Legal Systems Subcommittee of Digital Rights, PT, has selected a team of experts and has formed a legal preservation of past games community. He has created a video game archival task force. To
what?
Yeah. To archive retro video games that have been quote unquote lost to time, to basically preserve Japan's history in creating video games. Huh. In the same way that a historian would try and preserve ancient like ukyo art or samurai swords or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that. Yeah, it's about time, sure.
Dude, that's fucking sick. This guy is not wasting any time. But this is just a wild story from writing horny preteen manga to I am now a member of parliament making a video game task force to preserve the art that Japan has created.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's sick. I just think the line where it got there is kind of crazy.
Yeah. But you know what? It's good to have goals, and then it's good to just keep reaching for further ones.
Yeah, you know what? You got to focus on the current to get to where you want to be.
Exactly.
You got to keep making those steps. And he did it. He did it.
Holy shit. Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, you could read that story. It's pretty great. Skate 4 had some more news. They had The Boardroom. It was a 20-minute video talking about Skate 4, which is now just called Skate. And the reason it's just called Skate, because the developers have decided to make this game free to play.
Well, well, well.
So they have insisted, this will be a short one, but they have insisted that the game will not include pay-to-win mechanics, which I don't really know how you do that, because I don't think anybody plays Skate competitively. It's
well, maybe this game.
Maybe they'll have like graffiti mode or trick attack or something. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. But
or extra boosters. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Gravity mode.
Moon gravity? Hell yeah.
Moon boots.
So they have the main thing that you will buy is cosmetics. So they said there'll be no loot boxes. There'll be no pay for stats and to win mechanics. It'll just be how cool do I want to look while I'm skating around the open world of San Vansterdam.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
So yeah, there's a playtest going on now. It looks cool. I think the free to play model is going to be very interesting. Obviously, EA loves to give you some of those microtransactions. And this kind of leads into my next story.
Hold on. Are you in the...
No, I didn't get in. Okay. I don't know what happened there. But this is into our next story of good old John Riccitiello. You know,
John Riccitiello.
He's been in the video games business since video games. Like I could remember reading about video game news.
Okay.
He is currently the head of Unity, and he has come out in a spicy interview with PocketGamer.biz, where he was discussing how devs put monetization into their game, and he has come out with an absolutely spicy quote. So to quote him, John Riccitiello says, "Ferrari and some other high-end car manufacturer to this day still use clay and carving knives. It's a very small portion of the gaming industry that works that way.
Yeah.
And some of these people are my favorite people in the world to fight with. They're the most beautiful and pure, brilliant people. Also, they're some of the biggest fucking idiots." And this is because he believes that devs in today's modern age should be focusing on monetization early within the creative process of creating a game. And where he butts heads with devs is that they're coming at it from a more art perspective, where they want to make a cool product and aren't necessarily so focused on the money-making aspect, right?
It's a noble goal, noble cause.
Right.
All right. Yeah, right. Sure, yeah.
But John Riccitiello is like, fuck that shit. Make those dollars, kid. Let's go. Bill, hell yeah. Cash flows everything around me. Wu-Tang was right.
Yeah, I didn't go that far, yeah. But okay.
He continues, I've been in the gaming industry longer than most anybody. Getting to the gray hair and all that. It used to be the case when developers would throw their game over the wall to a publicist and Salesforce with literally no interaction beforehand. And that model still hasn't changed. So he's saying that game developers need to modernize, while game developers are saying that you're not going to create, a pure product if you're focusing on monetization that early.
Right. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
And I want to see... Where does Mr. Businessman hold up on this fight, on this battle?
Which businessman?
You. You're the accounting businessman.
I see what you're saying.
Where do you think there should be a line between monetization of a product and the creation of something?
I think it depends. I think it depends on what is the current status quo. Like, what is the market doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like what is the way that we are making money?
Well, if you're looking at Blizzard, it's Gotcha. You're making $1 million a day on Diablo Immortal.
You are.
You're just gouging the top 1%ers as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, you look at esports, they all have a store.
Yep.
Right? I hate this, but look at the cars, right? The future of cars is subscription-based.
I hate that. I read that article, and I fucking hate it. It looks so stupid.
No, I agree. I think it's ridiculous. I don't like the subscription thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with the whole, like, in terms of, like, if it means that there's more efficiency in, like, product lines or, like, yep. Whatever. Like, you just build all the same unit,
yep.
And then you pay for the features you want to be activated. That's cool. I don't like the idea of it being a sub, though.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, we currently live in a world of subscription tiered services, and we continue to buy into that. I understand what he's saying, and I get it. Video games are bigger than just being like these creatively artful things,
mm-hmm.
And there's definitely, I would say, categories and sectors for those kinds of games and experiences to exist. But if you want to be competing at the top, I don't think you can without having that monetization in your title.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in today's market, mm-hmm. that it's a reasonable ask.
So people have brought out very interesting and prominent, counter examples to that kind of mindset.
Yeah.
With like a Cuphead, right? They took like 5 years to make one game, and it's just you buy it once and you got the whole process, and they took another 3 years to make DLC that's just... Here's the one-time
thing.
Holy
shit, it took 3 years?
It took like 2-3 years to make that DLC.
Oh, I didn't realize it took that long.
Because it's all hand animation, right?
Yeah, I get that. But like, I didn't realize like...
Oh,
that...
it's been a long time.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Or even, was it Shovel Knight is huge, Hollow Knight, a lot of Undertale.
That's true. That Hollow Knight's the sequel, holy moly. Yeah, okay.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And people are saying like that it's kind of crazy that someone who is the head of Unity, which is probably the biggest indie engine that people use, right? Because if you're not a big corporation, you can go download Unity right now and use it all for free,
yeah.
Right? But as soon as you want to monetize a product, obviously you give them some kickback.
Yeah, you got to pay license fees, yeah.
But this is like indie engine,
yeah,
right? And for someone to come out and be like, you're not making enough money, you fucking dumb fucks, like it's kind of crazy. I think I agree with you in terms of, if you want to be numero uno in terms of revenue, like you're thinking about monetization well before the creative process, probably.
Of course,
right? You're like,
you must be. It's got to be part of your business case.
Yeah, like right at the beginning, like step 1.5, maybe.
Absolutely.
And I just don't think I agree with John where he mentions that like, people are fucking idiots, right? I think that...
Okay, yeah. Like, I think that's going a little far.
Yeah.
Because obviously not everyone is trying to, like... It depends what your goal is, right?
Yeah.
Obviously the answer here is, like with anything, it's not yes or no. It's what is your use case and what's the expectation at the end of the day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe that, of course, everybody wants to be able to create without any sort of impedance or any sort of limitation. And then hopefully that just becomes like the biggest fucking thing, and you know, But that is, those kind of success stories are very far and few.
And if I were to like bring up more recent stories,
yeah,
if it comes down to like, what does the audience want? EA took a big L a couple weeks ago when they brought out that tweet. Was it she's a 10?
Yeah.
But she only plays single player games.
Yeah. Right?
And there is a big market with, even with, I think like God of War Ragnarok is like scheduled to break like big sales records. Now that it's up for pre-order and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's big markets still for these single player games. Will they make as much money as Fortnite? Absolutely not.
No, and
right?
Yeah, and Fortnite's whole thing is just to take your money left, yeah, and center.
Right. And they try the, did you see the new Magic crossover?
Oh, I saw.
Yeah. Secret Lair Fortnite, baby.
I saw.
Dude, they got a card in there that's real good. They haven't reprinted in a while.
Yeah. That was cool. I didn't realize they did Tokyo Lands.
Yeah, the Tokyo Lands were very, I was very tempted by the Tokyo Lands.
My coworker bought them and he showed me. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, they're very nice.
These are sick.
Did he get the foil ones?
Yeah.
They're not in, he didn't get them immediately, right? He just showed the pictures.
No, he showed me the pictures. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But they look real cool.
Yeah.
The thing is like, if you want the, I think it's the non-foils, it's $30 for one of each land. 30 American.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoa. So it's a little spicy for a basic land.
My coworker isn't exactly.
Does he even play Magic?
Tight on
money.
Funds.
Yeah. Does he even play Magic or is he just.
He collects Pokemon cards.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right. I know where, I know what kind of person I'm dealing with right,
yeah,
now.
He has no problem.
So yeah, it's I think it really, like, honestly, it's the boring answer. It depends.
It depends.
But I totally disagree with John's like take on basically it in the whole interview. Just kind of sounded like he was doomsaying the whole single player aspect of video games.
Where, oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, where,
yeah,
it's just like, there's no way that you could ever survive doing this. And it's like, okay, relax. All right.
No, but there is no way you could ever. Like, what are you talking about?
Everyone who makes single player games is a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Duh.
Duh. All right. You know what? I give. When you're right, you're right. Don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. I'm glad we come to this conclusion. Gosh.
But you know who's gonna knock Mr. Riccatello on his ass?
Who?
Platinum Games, baby. Because they just announced Bayonetta 3 is coming out on the Switch October 28th. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
This is game of the year.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Dude,
no.
We watched this trailer. If you scroll up a little bit, you'll have the little release date with the trailer here.
Oh, yeah.
And they had some cool news. So later on in the year, Bayonetta 1 will actually be getting a physical release in September, I believe. Because only Bayonetta 2 had a physical release and it came with a digital download code of 1.
Yeah.
So they're doing that. They're releasing a super ultra special edition that's Bayonetta the Trinity Masquerade Edition.
Trinity Masquerade, okay.
And that'll be available on the Nintendo Store and select retailers in North America. It'll come with like a 200-page art book. It'll come with all three games, a bunch of stuff, right? So that'd be cool. But I think the big thing they added that is a little bit controversial is that they have the Naive Angel mode.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
So in Bayonetta, her clothes are her hair. That's the lore. Because when she uses her magical powers and she summons demons, she uses that like demon hair, the witch hair.
The witch hair, yeah,
to make stuff, right? Like a dragon or a spider or whatever.
Yeah, that's her power.
But when she does her power, where does that hair come from? Her clothes. So she gets a little, you know, she gets a little naked. And I saw someone describe Bayonetta very funnily. She is the Schrodinger's feminist character, where on one end, she is a strong, powerful, independent woman who's comfortable with her sexuality and don't take no shit from nobody.
Okay.
And on the other hand, she is one of the most sexualized female video game characters in modern history. And I don't.
I don't disagree.
And it's really odd to see the reactions to this because the especially the Japanese Twitter post when you translate it, it's almost like we added the feature so that when she does her demon mode, she doesn't take off her clothes, but like we're not using it. Right.
We're not little bitches.
Yeah, that's not the way to play. That's not how Bayonetta would play, you know?
Okay.
And even the English post, relax, the witch is back and sexier than ever.
Right? Yeah.
It's interesting to see people's comments on this, especially on Resetera or Reset Era.
Yeah.
Their forums are just of people. They didn't go far enough to, like, if you mention, like, hey, maybe Bayonetta needs to be a sexy character because that's who she is. And just like, you're goddamn sexist. What the fuck? You just want a male, whatever. And they just pop off. I kind of don't give a shit because it's optional.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like they gave North America a censored version or something.
Right.
But, dude, this game looks hot. They got a new character.
Don't they got a couple new characters?
Well, they show some. I think there's one.
Or you mean like new playable?
Yeah, there's one new playable character.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
And so you're gonna get like maybe like a Dante Nero situation where you swap between and they have different play styles.
Yeah.
The new character uses like a Cheshire cat that she can summon. Bayonetta's got some new moves where she can like put on like demon armor almost, and it changes up her movesets. But this looks like Bayonetta. This looks like exactly what I want, plus more. And I'm just ready to fight to the death at the end of the year for this to be game of the year.
What if it's bad?
I can't imagine. Do you remember when Bayonetta 2 came out?
Yeah, it was all right.
What? That game got 10s. GameSpot gave that shit a 10.
I thought you don't care about the big name outlets for reviews.
But I do when it supports my point. All right? Okay? I bought a Wii U for that game.
Listen, IGN only gave it a 9.
Yeah, IGN also gave God Hand a 4 and Imagine Babies on the DS an 8. Also, they said that Pokemon, what was it, Sapphire or whatever the fuck, had too much water.
Exactly. All right?
They're not very consistent.
They also gave Elden Ring a 10. And Elden Ring came out this year. Because if you're going to tell me, you're going to say Bayonetta 3 is going to be better than Elden Ring.
It's going to be an 11.
Okay.
See, it's gonna be tens, but of two different genres. Do you want the open world? You can do whatever you want, or you want that tight knit package?
Have you seen what you can do in Elden Ring?
You can die a lot. That seems cool.
Yeah, it's wicked.
Yeah, I die in so many cool ways.
You know how many times in my 70 hours? You know how many times I died?
A lot.
Exactly.
Maybe 80.
Yeah, I don't know.
Two deaths. No, 100. Yeah, 142. Yeah. Deaths per hour. Yeah, I'm super hyped about this game. Showing off the new character is pretty sick.
And it looks cool. Like, I won't lie. It looks cool.
Yeah, Bayonetta has always been stylish.
Yeah.
And for a Switch game, it's not looking half bad.
Yeah.
It's not looking half bad.
It's looking aight.
And those are my picks.
Wicked.
Those are all of them.
The other game trailer that got an announcement this month or this week was the Diofield Chronicle.
Oh, that new PS1 game.
Shut your whore mouth. This is the what Project Triangle Strategy should have been.
Mm-hmm.
/ it's not on grid. It's closer to XCOM, tactical strategy RPG.
It really reminded me of the movement, at least, of like Valkyria Chronicles.
It did.
Where you have like a bunch of movement points and then you can like freely roam around and do whatever.
So that's basically what XCOM is. But it has like all the attacks and animations of a traditional RPG. Like, it's not just like regular grid-based combat.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a lot of cool things here. Looks like it has a very complex political story. The whole point is, though, it's coming out September 22nd, so just over 2 months away. I'm so pumped to play this game.
Dude, you were so pumped about Triangle Strategy.
I know. Then
I hear shit.
No, because I told you, I played the Switch, ran like shit,
yeah,
and then I was like, forget it.
I'm not going to buy it on PC.
I will. And I'll wait until it comes out on Steam, like, okay, next year. And then I'll get back to you on it.
Okay.
That said, my friend did play it, and he told me, he's like, it's all right.
It's no Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
I'll say
like
that.
he's a Tactics A2 super fan, and so he's like, it ain't even on that level. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Well, A2's a really good game.
Yeah.
From what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think people will still say Tactics is the one.
Ogre.
No. Yeah. Final Fantasy. I think Tactics Ogre is the one.
War of the Lions.
That's a sick game.
But, all right.
I'm looking forward to the Diofield Chronicles.
It looks really nice.
Yeah.
It's got that like whole tilt shift looking pixel art.
But it's got like the Amano artwork
for
Amano's the guy who does the Final Fantasy. Yeah,
he does all the concept. Yeah. Like if you look at a logo and you see like the really skinny and wispy characters, he draws that art. They should just let him draw real art. Instead of concept art all the time. Just let him do the art for a game.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so it's coming out on every platform except the Switch, as it should be. Next up, have you heard of PlayStation?
I've heard of them.
Yes. Have you heard of their new program?
No. Wait, the Insight? Whatever their peripheral shit
Oh,
is?
InZone?
InZone?
No. I'm not talking about Plus or Plus Premium or Plus Essential.
All right.
I'm talking about their other new program.
All right. Okay.
Stars. PlayStation is launching a new loyalty program very similar to that of Nintendo. You know how Nintendo has the coins?
Mm-hmm.
Where you buy something, you get some coins, or you do something in a game, you get some coins, and then you can use these coins to redeem...
Something. Yeah.
PlayStation hasn't outlined what you can redeem it for, but they have said digital creations that fans would enjoy. And then the first thing that came to mind is... NFTs.
Oh, no.
PlayStation has come out and said, no, not limited to NFTs or like not NFTs.
That's good then.
Okay. But I don't know. What else? Maybe it's like you'll get avatars or something.
Why don't they just do what Nintendo does and give out physical products? Because that's sick.
So does the Nintendo Club still do that?
Yep. They restarted it.
Okay, but what does it use? Like the...
So when you buy your game...
Is it the coins
thing? You use the gold coins.
Okay.
And then you can... So the gold coins are either used for discounts on the store.
Yeah.
Or if you save up enough, you can go on Club Nintendo or My Nintendo.
Really?
And they have some items sometimes.
Because I remember, I think... Didn't Blaven get the Hanafuda set?
Yeah, he got that Hanafuda set, Super Jelly.
That was so cool.
I had enough points to get the Majora's Mask duffel bag or whatever, but I decided to get like multiple things instead. I got like the 18-cart game cart. Game case thing.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And some other stuff.
Yeah,
they have some cool stuff, like just little tchotchkes. Like,
yeah,
I just know what, dude. I don't want to have a fucking NFT wallet for my Sony stuff.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
The world calls your name.
God damn.
So PlayStation is gonna have one. Stars. Look forward to it. I think.
Wow.
I don't know.
I hate it.
Okay.
No, we'll see. Hopefully, there's some stuff that's not just digital currency.
Don't get your hopes up. Anyways, my last one is a really cool one. Hasbro, like San Diego Comic-Con is coming up,
mm-hmm.
and some announcements have been made. Hasbro is partnering with, Form Labs, a 3D printing house,
mm-hmm.
to basically let you self-scan your face and put it on one of their collector-grade action figures.
Interesting.
So like if you go to the store, you see a Marvel Legend, Star Wars Black Series, Power Rangers Lightning Collection, they'll offer all those body styles or a selection of those body styles, which you can then have your face 3D printed onto a head, mm-hmm. you pick your hair, mm-hmm. and then they'll ship it to you. It's going to be premium, obviously. I believe these action figures in the stores, they go for like 25 bucks mm-hmm. a pop. For this customized one, it's going to be 65.
Okay.
So remember, these prices are American, I believe.
So $1 million.
But I feel like I gotta buy at least a dozen, right? Like, I guess technically I only need the one and then just put the heads on whatever toys I have. But I definitely want to pick up a Stormtrooper
because
I think that would just be super cool to have.
Okay.
A Power Ranger body.
Why not?
Because, why not?
Just the body?
Well, I mean, like, you pick the body, like, your head goes on it, so, like, whatever. So, there's other ones. I'm not too sure.
Like a cool mask that you could take off the toy?
I don't think they have that kind of stuff.
Oh, that tech.
I wish. That would be cool if you could have, like, half mask.
Or, like, give them, like, just, like, a cloth mask that you pull over the mm-hmm. toy.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of Star Wars ones. Like, so, obviously, Stormtrooper, if you want to be a Rebel pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Jedi robes, right? Obviously, Sith, whatever. Yeah. They have the one that they've teased out is... Ghostbusters. I'm always amazed at like the fandom behind Ghostbusters, that the fact that they're still
and
existing.
For, like, how like after Ghostbusters 2, everything's been shit.
You mean like the original Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not. Well, I guess that's better than the one movie Transformers had. But Transformers had a bunch of shows. So.
Yeah, but like other ones that they have too are. I forgot that they had Marvel Legends. So, like, if you want, like, every kid wants an Iron Man, right? Or a Spider-Man, right?
Course. I want to be Iron Man.
G.I. Joe. So, if you want to be Snake Eyes, who doesn't want to be a ninja, right? Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, it's cool. Actually, Mandalorian would be wicked.
Dude, I'm surprised you don't want to be an X-Wing pilot.
No, see, I don't like the Rebels.
Interesting.
Because
you don't want to be a Rebel princess?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to be Black Panther, that's for sure.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't want to be Spider-Man.
Okay.
See, Iron Man would be probably the coolest, but every time I'd look at it, I'd be like, that's wrong.
Right. Look at that guy's stupid face. That's, look at my stupid
exactly.
face.
Exactly. I'd be like, right. That is wrong. Like, in my head, yeah, I could totally be a Power Ranger. Anybody could be a Power Ranger.
Yeah. You could be a school kid in high school, and you could be a Power Ranger.
I could have attitude.
Yeah. Bad attitude.
Yeah, that's the one. But, you know, I think Stormtrooper is what I'm leading towards. Okay. I think that would be super cool to have. They probably would make great gifts for people. I don't know. It's a cool idea.
So, sorry, how did they put your face on it again? It's like a scan thing? Or is it just a picture?
So, I think you take a picture of your face from the front and then from the sides.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's through the Hasbro app, so I don't actually know the details, but something tells you, like, you don't have an iPhone, but you know how you do Face ID?
Yeah.
Have you seen people do that, where they scan around and stuff
your face? Yeah.
I'm sure it's something similar to that. Okay. Like, the API exists, so I'm sure it's right. fairly simple to
Fair
do.
Enough.
Yeah. But yeah, that was what I saw, and those were my picks.
Nice.
They are.
Do we have any late emails?
I don't believe so.
No, we don't. So I'm gonna go into my week.
Okay.
So this week, I play some video games. But
I heard
first,
you did.
I watched some anime. I watched Gankutsuo, The Count of Monte Cristo. Have you heard of this anime?
It sounds familiar.
It's, I want to say, I'll just look it up. Yeah, okay, 2004.
Okay.
This series is it's The Count of Monte Cristo, you know.
Yeah, okay, now I'm looking at it. I've never seen this.
Really? So this is about this kid, Albert. He's
Einstein?
No.
No.
He's the son of a renowned general in France.
Jean Irel.
And he's traveling basically the country with his friend Franz. And they meet this super rich nobleman who is the Count of Monte Cristo.
All right.
He lives in crazy hotels. He's just omega rich. And because he's so, I guess, like, cool, Albert's like, I want to hang out with this guy.
Okay.
He's pretty sick.
Okay.
And he kind of gets caught into all of the Count's games. And you know what rich people do when you have all the money in the world? You start fucking around with other people's lives.
I mean, okay.
Right? At least in anime. I forget what studio this was by. Oh, it's Gonzo.
Gonzo?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the anime is. The manga was published by Kodansha, and the studio was Gonzo.
Huh.
This is I'm gonna get the story kind of out of the way. I really liked this story until it became a K-drama.
What?
You have heard my complaints in the past about the end of Squid Games, about Your Name, about
yes.
other certain types of romantic dramas.
Yes.
Where the story and the drama that happens, I always have like a bone to pick. When it doesn't feel natural, it feels like I can feel the meta-ness of it. Like I can feel that the author wrote this to be the most dramatic version of whatever it is the characters are doing.
I mean, that's most fiction, yeah.
It is. It is. But there's like certain levels of drama where I just kind of get pulled out, right? If it gets too extreme.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And this was probably a really good first half out of all the 24 episodes of the show.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. It was an intriguing kind of like rich nobleman type story dealing with the mysteries and the enigmaticness of the Count of Monte Cristo and how he's screwing over other people, but they're also trying to screw over him. And it's like, it's watching rich people do like five levels of fuckery on each other.
Yeah.
And then it takes like this anime twist and this drama twist, which I'm just like, all right,
you're
whatever.
Out.
I'm kind of out of it.
All right.
But this is probably one of the most visually appealing animes I've ever watched.
It's definitely got an art style.
It's got a style.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I'm trying to make heads or tails of it. Just.
So a lot of the, or most of the anime is actually done with, I don't know how to, I don't know what the style is called other than like, you know when in certain shows characters will have, say they have a shirt on, right? And when they walk across, the pattern moves with it. Like, the pattern is a separate layer that's behind the character.
Right?
And they're in, instead of their shirt being something that's drawn, it's like a cutout to the behind layer.
Yeah, I feel like I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And when they walk, the pattern moves as they move.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that. And this whole show, from like people's hair to their clothing to wallpaper on the background, they use this to like the maximum effect. And especially when it comes to the more supernatural parts of the show, it pays off in spades.
Really?
It looks fantastic. And when something is supposed to be otherworldly and kind of alien to all of our characters who we're experiencing the situation through, you look at that and you're like, this is otherworldly and alien. And sometimes I can't make heads or tails, but also the character can't make heads or tails. And it kind of really pulls you in. It's on its face, when you kind of just look at stills of the show, it does look a little pretentious. You're just like, oh, they're swinging for the fences on style. But I think it plays very well into what the show is, like the genre of the show. They use it very well to show off opulence of certain characters and like just how much wealth they have.
Right.
I think the show was pretty good. I think the ending was a little weak. And I think it just kind of, I wish it was a more smooth transition into what wild shit happens at the end of the show.
How many episodes you said this was?
24.
Okay, but you said the first half was the good, and then you're
I had a really good time, like the first like maybe 12 to 14, 15 episodes, and then it kind of just went off a deep end to where I was just like, this is still pretty good, and it doesn't like undo what I've seen before. It's just, it's not as good as the first half.
You just got checked out by
it. It went from good to average, I'll say.
Good to average.
Yeah. But I liked it. It was good. I probably would recommend it if you're into like the more drama sort of shows. The more, I don't know if it's not really a romantic drama. It's more like a friendship drama, I guess.
A friendship drama, you said.
Kind of. But yeah, there's a lot of spicy things to behold there.
Okay.
Then onto video games, I started playing XO1.
Yes, the ball frisbee.
You are Spaceball. This is a game on Steam that is, I think it's the studio's first game, if I remember. The developer is Xbelative. I don't think they've really made any. Yeah, they
say Xbelative.
Yeah, E X B L E A T I V E. I think this is their only game. It came out last year in November. It's on Steam, and you play as a ball. Let me tell you about Glover.
Okay.
The story takes place as a team of astronauts took a trip out to Jupiter, and I think nobody came back, and one of the people on the ship, I guess, who went on this trip, signals, it's still unsure, I can't tell if it signaled this alien ship or if the aliens gave them a ship to do. And have you ever seen the movie Contact with what's her name?
Not since I was like very young.
What's her name? Yeah, the 1997 film, Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a scene at the end of that movie where they build this like alien ship to specification, but they add like human elements to it, right? So that it's a seat that's like strapped down to the thing. And once the seat breaks, then everything works properly. So they have a whole thing where like they've given us this ship, the aliens have, and we built it to spec, and it's this ball, and the ball has the ability to create its own gravity, where if it's ball form and it's like gathering energy, it's like 10x gravity and you shoot to the floor. But if it's like disc form, it's like moon level gravity, and you can kind of float around. And the whole game is you playing as this ball, trying to pick up momentum and jump far, fly high, just go fast. And as you're doing this, you get glimpses into what this team did on Jupiter, where the team is, if you're going to save this team. And it plays a lot like kind of a like a Flower or a Journey type game.
Okay.
So if you liked those types of games, or was Subnautica's the, what's the one where it's underwater, but it's just like you're kind of just the guy with the flippers underwater.
Oh, I didn't play that one. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's more of an experience game rather than like
something. It looked like a really cool tech demo.
Yeah. And it's also surprisingly very fun. Linking your kind of arcs to, I'm going to jump off this big thing to pick up a bunch of speed, and when I lose like my flight time,
yeah,
I'm just going to drop into a hill, and if I time it right, I can drop to keep my momentum down and launch off another hill and do whatever. And it's just a nice game to look at. It's very zen.
Yeah, it feels like if you ever wanted to play a 3D version of Flappy Bird.
Kind of, yeah.
Like that's the mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't look anything like Flappy Bird, but...
Up and down. And or like if you wanted to play Interstellar when Matthew McConaughey jumps through time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of those visualizations in it.
Yeah. But the game mechanic loop is very much Super Mario with a cape.
Yep. Yeah. You get a little like double jump to go a little bit farther. There are like hidden power-ups within the level. So if you explore while you're going around, if you see some weird anomaly, you go run into it, maybe you'll get more glide time or something like that. It's got it's got some like kind of simple game power-up stuff, but it's nothing wild. It's just, here's some cool vistas. You're gonna go fast through them, and the levels are long because you're going super fast.
Sounds cool to me.
I like it.
It looks cool.
It's a great break game. Like I've had a big day. I'm just gonna sit back, lounge in my gamer chair, pick up the controller.
Is it intensive to run?
No, I don't think so. Like I can look up the Steam requirements right now. You need an i5. This is the min requirements. You know, I'm gonna do the recommended. Recommended, you need an i7.
i7 what? What's the number?
Just as i7. Any i7.
Okay.
You need at least 8 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
And you need at least a 1060 NVIDIA card.
Okay. I might just be able to run that.
just a little bit.
Yeah.
There is a prologue, I believe, you can download for free.
A prologue?
Yeah, it's like XO1 prologue. And you can get like a little taste of what the game is. So it's a demo with some like story relevance, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would recommend it. It's just a fun, simple game.
All right.
But you know it's not a fun, simple game.
Life?
Yeah, but also Monster Hunter Sunbreak, baby. So since we talked about it last, I have put in hella time into Sunbreak.
Oh, wow.
I am now Master Rank 56.
Wow. I think that's like double mine.
Yeah, I beat the main story.
Yep.
I got some sick builds.
So what are you using now?
I'm switching between... So one of my builds can be used for both the Greatsword and the Lance.
Really?
Yes, because the Ibushi and the Narwa are back.
Oh, because you're using the +1/+1.
So you remember how their sets were shit back in the day?
Their sets are crazy. They're if you do the 5-link, any skill you gem in gets +2.
So that's the kicker. That's not true.
Oh.
It's not any skill. So how the
A lot of skills.
A lot of skills. So how the Narwa and Ibushi sets work is that back in the old game, you had like the dragon essence or the thunder essence or whatever, and that gave you good luck if you got to the end. Like, who cares? But you got like one of every skill.
Yes.
And everyone's like, why the fuck would I ever use this? I get like 20 skills.
Yeah.
But it's level one of all of them. They're all useless.
Oh.
This set, they're like, we hear you, baby. So if you use the full Narwa set, there's a thing called Storm Soul, I believe.
Yeah.
And the first three levels are kind of whatever. Depending on who you pick, it's your thunder or your dragon attack get a percentage buff, right? So your elements go up.
Did you mix them or you go all?
I went all in Ibushi. Five set Ibushi.
Oh.
But the 4 and 5 are where the set gets nuts.
Yeah.
So for every skill that is on that armor set, not including what you gem in or what your talisman has, you get +1 to that skill.
Yes.
And that happens for both level 4 and 5.
Yes.
So most of the skills on that set are 3 to max.
Yes.
With a couple being 5.
Yes.
To where you can easily gem in the max rest of that.
Yes.
So right now I have this Lance set where the relevant skills for that thing are Evade Extender, 5, or evasion window 3, guard 5,
yeah.
guard up 3, stamina surge 3.
Wait, you need guard and guard up with the sword?
No, with the lance.
No, but you said you can double? Oh, you have different gems for you have different gems for the weapon.
Yeah, so guard is okay. guard is 5 to max, but in this set it gives you 3, and then I had a talisman that gave me 2. So I have guard 5, but guard up is 3 to max.
Yeah.
And so that allows you to block things you normally shouldn't be able to block, and you use up like 80% less stamina when you block things.
No, what I'm saying is you said you use this set for either greatsword or lance.
Yes, because the other skills on this set is like focus. So I charge up my...
Oh, I'm surprised you just don't gem it in a way that specifies to either.
These are all on the set. Like you're so the gem slots you get on the armor set aren't great. It's like it's 5 2 slots.
Yes.
So each armor has 1 2 slot gem. So it's not fantastic. And if I want to make a lot of the 2 slot gems, I got to go back and fight like high rank monsters to get the aqua glow jewels cuz I ran out.
You honestly might be better served if you go mix set and do
it. Maybe it's true, but right now just to like simplify and streamline.
Yeah,
I did that.
Okay.
And then I have a sword and shield set that is Rajang legs and Rathalos head.
Rajang legs and...
In order to get crit boost 3.
Okay.
And then Malzino arms, chest, and waist in order to get bloodlust and attack up 5 across the whole set, or 4 across the whole set. And then I have a talisman from before that gave me attack up 3. So this thing has attack up 7, bloodlust 3.
Bloodlust, okay.
Yeah. And then I use crit boost 3, and then I use the ninja sword, which comes with 100% affinity, but only goes up to blue sharpness.
You don't have the ninja sword too?
I have ninja sword max, ninja sword rare 10, and that only goes up to blue sharpness. And then I just put mind's eye on it so I don't bounce, and I do extra damage when I would have bounced.
I see, okay.
And that thing is unstoppable. Like, I'm shield bashing guys for, like, 200.
So right now your goal is just to get to MR 100? Is that what you're trying to do?
Right now it's slowed down. So at the beginning, like, when I started, it was do MRs as fast as possible. And then when you get to MR 50, they're like, all right, slow down a little bit, bud. Go make some sets. We gave you a lot of cool shit. And so now I'm just kind of fucking around.
Because, like, my thing right now is I've gone full fashion mode. Because trying to grind out the MR layered armor is long.
I've only done one.
Yeah, and, like, the one I'm trying to do...
You need 3 vouchers per?
No, you need 2, but the item you need, you can't get via hunting.
What?
You can only get it via Argosy.
What is it?
It's,
Is the sealed treasure box?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
I have 3, and I'm just, like, going in doing a mission checking? Nope. Okay.
I made the armor set where you're the quest lady from Generations.
Oh, yeah.
The one who's, like, horny for all the monsters.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sick.
Okay.
And there's a lot of cool fashion options there.
Yeah, like, I'm actually really stoked for the first set of event quests next month.
Mm-hmm.
Because hopefully by then, there's just more cool things to get. But yeah.
Yeah. I kind of love the end game missions, the afflicted monsters.
Oh, yeah. The anomaly ones.
Yeah. So there's how this game works is after you beat it, I guess the end game grind is anomaly monsters.
Yeah.
And in the story, Malzino is like taken over by these like life draining bugs. And so once you beat the game and you defeat the final boss, the life-draining bugs start affecting everybody else.
Yeah.
So you start again with, like, a great Azuchi who hits you harder than the final boss because he's all bloodlusted out.
Yeah, it's basically like all the monsters get zombified, but the zombie effects just make them incredibly... Like, or I guess it's more like Berserk.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go full Berserk.
And
they
get tons more health. They get little, like clusters of red glow around them, and if you hit those enough, they'll explode and do bonus damage because these monsters have like 10x the health of what they normally have. And it's the only way to get afflicted items,
which you need for the final weapon upgrades.
So if you want any final weapon upgrades or any of the really good decorations, you need afflicted pieces.
It's Oh God, it's a grind at the end.
Honestly, and I wanted a reason to not just, because what happened when we got Rise on the Switch? We beat it in like 2 days, then we're done.
I didn't beat it.
Okay, yeah, you didn't. I did. I beat Rise, and I got to the end game in like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the whole game? Really? And I guess certain people would see that as like, oh, well, they're just reskinning it. They're just putting the numbers higher. But it's like, I love Monster Hunter enough to where I'm like, that's really all I need. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I mean, like, I do want to get to at least MR70 this time around.
Because there's a cool guy there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna spoil it. I'm gonna look it up.
Okay. I hope you enjoy your spoiler.
I won't say it here.
Yeah, but
I won't say it.
I want to get there. But yeah, Monster Hunter has been pretty cool. I haven't been playing as much as you, but I probably put in like 2 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still like I'm trying to finish my basically the same set, the Ibushi Narwa set.
Yep.
But mine's going the mixed route because there's some things I need from one. Do you have chain crit on yours?
No. No, I should.
Dude,
I should get chain crit.
If you have 100 infinity, you need chain.
Yeah,
crit.
Yeah, I should get chain crit, especially because I'm sword and shield, and I use that whip attack.
Oh my gosh! Because cool. I use charge blade with the, what is it? The saw blade mode,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a million hits, but it's all chain crit. It's wild.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, I'm still doing charge blade. Charge blade is where it's at. CB main, and then switch axe when I feel like it. Yeah, it's good. Like. I don't think I have anything to add other than, yeah, I am just grinding whenever I get the chance. Yeah, I'll get the MR70 at some point, do that fun stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then go from there. Yeah, I don't really have much else I wanted to say on Monster Hunter. Did you?
No, I think all of our conversation going forward will be about the end game and whatever broken sets we make.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm still debating on what actual... Yeah, what weapon I want to go with. Like, I'm using the final boss weapon.
Okay.
But I didn't realize it had negative 20 affinity. But yeah. It is hella strong.
But I kind of love how they did that, where the final boss weapon, they're all rare 10. They're all the final in the tree.
Yeah.
And they're good, but they're just, like, just not good enough.
Exactly.
Right? And it's like, oh, so this is what the end game could be like, and then you're kind of tempted to go back and do more.
Yeah, because like it's clearly the strongest weapon I have now, but it's not the strongest weapon I could have.
Yeah. So like for my lance, I use the final boss lance, but it's like, oh, but like if I want to do stat lance, like that final Volvadon lance is pretty sick.
Like, yeah, like there's like the one I want to get, but I know I just have to grind up monsters right now. Are the royal weapons?
Yep.
But I don't know a part I need to get mine, so... Well,
we got to start hunting. We got to start hitting up those
afflicted?
Afflicted Azuchis. Those afflicted...
I don't even bother. I just go into random.
Yeah? Or you just hit random?
I hit random and see what comes of it, because I just don't know what to go anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do... I have, like, 2 really good sets, and because I'm farming more MR and stuff like that, and I just need parts, really, I don't have anything... too crazy I'm looking forward to building, so I think I'm gonna try and complete all the quests again.
Did you end up doing the follower quests?
No, actually I gotta do those too. I should go back.
They're like, if you do them at the beginning of the game, they're actually decently hard. Like, they're rough.
Yeah, but I did the Barioth one.
Yeah, like it takes, they got more health than you think.
Yeah, because you're technically with 2 people.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, this is actually a decent challenge.
Yeah, but your teammate will go and leave halfway through.
Yeah. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Yeah. And you're like, what?
Where'd he go?
Yeah.
They come back with a monster. Yeah. I love those quests.
Yeah. They're pretty really cool. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm having a great time with Sunbreak.
Yeah. I got to get back into it.
It is a definite improvement over Rise, like tenfold. Like, it's great.
Yeah. What else did I do? I went to TFCon 2022.
Yeah. You almost didn't go because of the Rogers outage. You can get any gas or cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I went. I bought a Kingdom Soundwave, which is now at work, just lives there. I just keep it in boombox mode.
Okay.
And ask people if they know what this is, because it's like,
it's a boombox,
and they're like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Well, I guess you won't know what this is." And I, because like it's tiny, like it's really small, but it's cool because it comes with a tiny cassette that you put into him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I pull it out, and people are like, "What's that?"
Fuck?
I'm like, "Oh God, I'm at that age."
Oh, they, it's not that they don't know what the Transformers is. No. They don't know what a cassette tape is.
No, because like the front is like they're like, why is there a play and pause button and whatever?
Dude, that's wild.
Yeah,
because like in I know in the music scene, like yeah. all the indie kids, like they're releasing their albums on cassette tape. Mm. Well, so,
yeah, no, it's wild. And then I turn him into a robot. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, so he chills with Cloud. Okay. So it's a Soundwave and Cloud at my desk now. It's pretty nice. Yeah, TFCon 22. Still feeling the effects of like pandemic because clearly none of the big vendors from the States came and very few voice actors have come.
Well, I bet there's still like a lot of like people absolutely. At the border problems.
Right? It's also yeah. Like, how can I put it? Transformers without a movie, the hype has definitely died down.
Are you saying that Michael Bay needs to come back?
I'm not saying that, but obviously without a major cartoon and without a movie like in our minds, the hype, like the whole hype up for I guess the community is definitely lower. Mm-hmm. And that definitely showed with this convention. Like things were like, it's not a big convention, mm-hmm. but it definitely felt like weaker than some years that I've been to.
Yeah, cause I've been to a couple and they're pretty big.
Yeah. Like this one wasn't that insane.
Dude, sometimes they got booth babes.
Sometimes they do.
Did they have any booth babes?
No.
Damn. Not even worth going.
No. So yeah, like it was all right. Dealer room stuff. Like I, like even releases and whatnot, nothing really caught my eye too hard in terms of Transformers.
No, like, custom stuff with like cool.
Yeah, like the custom, you know, nothing really. Like even the third party scene, I feel like that is kind of, I don't want to say died down because they're still making stuff, but I don't know if it's inflation or if it's just people wanting to make a buck, but like things are expensive, like insanely expensive. Yeah. Like when I first got in, I just remember that like buying a toy, third party toy, right? Mm-hmm. We'll say it's like a 6-inch tall toy or mm-hmm. whatever, maybe like $80.
Okay.
Fine. I'm okay with that.
You get a premium on it.
Yeah. Now that pricing is reserved for like the micro scale stuff, like the things that are
like the tiny sound wave.
Yeah. Like 3 inches tall.
That's crazy.
And it's just, that's the norm. And then I look at, obviously Transformers Masterpiece is still going, but yep. they are now $200, $250 a pop.
The collectible scene is out of control.
Yeah, it's... I get it. I guess if you're a fan now, like obviously they're still making some cool stuff, but the pricing is just out of this world.
You saw it firsthand when we went to that video game thing yeah. and I was trying to buy some shit.
Yeah.
Pricing is bonkers for like yeah. collectibles in general.
Yeah, like and it's on one hand, I like seeing it just because it means that the interest is there. Mm-hmm. That things are gonna are happening within the community, but on the other hand, it's just hard to keep up with it and be,
especially at the price range.
Yeah, like now. And it's hard to stay interested if you know that you can't really interact with it anymore, just because it's not this thing. Like now, when I look at this kind of stuff, it's I really have to think about like the financial implications of buying, mm-hmm. you know, a Devastator because it's not exactly cheap.
There was a news story I saw, I think it was on CBC, no, mm-hmm. CTV. Mm-hmm. There's a card game store in Guelph mm-hmm. because the prices on all collectibles pretty much have gone up yeah. so drastically.
Yeah.
They were now targeted for break and enter, and they had over $200,000 worth of collectibles stolen from their store.
Wow.
And the thing with like Magic cards too.
How do you insure that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A, how do you insure it? And B, they're not big, right? Yeah. So you walk in, steal $200,000 worth of cards
yeah.
that fits in your hand.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy like what nerd hobbies have become, and like they're yeah. people see them as like investing opportunities now.
Yeah, like I never
kind of nuts.
I never thought about that kind of stuff because I have a couple like cycling friends and they have like their bicycles insured.
Yeah.
Which fair enough. I mean, you're riding a 10K bike, I guess so. Yeah.
Why not?
Right. But I've never thought about that. And then in the other scene, like watch insurance is a thing. And I guess that one's a bit more understandable because I know that.
I think, well, rich people would team up with insurance companies to be like, I want to insure my Rolex.
Yeah, I guess so. Like if your Rolex is going for like 45K, yeah, you should probably.
But I've always thought about like, I remember being back like 18 and like in college and taking like an insurance class and be like, yeah. sir, I have a video game collection.
Yeah.
It's worth quite a bit of money. Do you think I could insure my video games? And even then they're like, I don't know if you could. If you had to, you should do it on replacement value and not on actual value or perceived value and stuff like that. And like, if there's ever a day where like I have to put my games into storage.
Yeah.
Like, I would want to insure the shit out of that.
Probably, yeah. And I don't doubt that now it's probably easier. That said, I don't think it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, so that was my TFCon experience. I only stayed for one day. Like, I didn't do the whole weekend thing. It was, yeah, it was cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that before. Like, I feel like we're both past local conventions staying for the weekend.
Yeah. Like, I don't need to, unless I'm already in the area. Like,
yeah.
For example, Fan Expo is right at where I, not right where I work, but like, it's there.
Yeah, so you just go.
And I won't lie, I'll probably go more than one day.
Yeah, why not?
But
like, Anime North is here, mm-hmm. but it's like $60 to go for
so
one
So you know
day.
That it's like 60 bucks a day, but 70 for all three?
Yeah. But you, I don't think you can get those tickets anymore, can you?
No, and you can't get Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there you go. Yeah. When a new Transformers movie comes out, I'm sure the hype will be back. I was also reminded because this year they showed off figures that were released as exclusive items in years prior. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the one that was there when I went to my first one, which was Shafter. That was 2012.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, it's been 10 years since I've been going to this thing. Yeah, I was just like, wow, time is just gone. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do?
Time comes for the best of us.
I know. You know how much I love Gundam Build Fighters?
How much?
So much.
I know you do.
Yeah. Do you know the thing is 10 years old next year?
That's crazy. Oh
my and God. That's...
Because that, we talked about it on this show when it was hot.
Yeah, and that blew my mind. I was like, 10 years for Gundam Build Fighters is next year? Are you kidding me? Wow, I might have to put together a special Gundam Build Fighters project.
And they still haven't put out a Mom Gundam? Oh, God damn. Where's...
No, they did.
Did they?
Yeah, she's a ship.
I thought they only brought out the girl with the soft body torso or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they did do that. But no, they did the mom, but she turns into a ship.
Damn, I should have bought that.
I think. Damn. Like, you know, like the gunship?
Yep.
That Gundams usually go in? Yeah, yep. She's that.
Oh, I should have got that.
The following day, I did some cycling.
Yes.
With my girlfriend. It was a nice sunny day. Air was cool down by the lake.
Yeah. That's a trap. Because that's that lake coolness.
Yeah, I wore this exact shirt you're seeing.
Bruh.
I had no idea. So I'm wearing like a tank top.
Yeah.
Shoulders were burnt when I came back.
Dude, but you don't burn.
I've never like burned. Granted, it didn't hurt.
Yes.
Right? Like you could slap me and be okay. Yeah. But it looked
red.
Awful. Right. Like it looked real bad. It didn't peel. But yeah, I was just like, okay, I guess I got to take sunscreen seriously.
Oh no. Welcome to the crew. I got some recommendations.
No, don't worry. So like I always wear sunscreen for my face.
Yeah.
Like as a part
of it. What are you getting? You getting that sheer Neutrogena? You getting that SPF 120?
No, I got some Korean stuff.
Damn. All right. Yeah. Okay. They don't know sun.
That's why they're so pale. What are you talking about? Of course they know the sun.
Use umbrellas. It's cheating.
Yeah, so that's that. Yeah, that the sun sucks.
I think if I got the same amount of sun you got that
yeah,
day,
yeah.
I would be in the hospital.
Because it was funny because we were cycling past a lot of people. It was a very nice day. Yeah. I'm just looking at a lot of like older white dudes.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are fucking burnt.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, and then I'm like, the ironic part is I didn't realize my back was doing the same thing. And I was like,
yeah, but also... kind of dark tones.
I know, that's true. That's true. So I
guess you absorb that shit.
That's true. But yeah, unfortunately, it didn't even out my like farmer's tan. But
you got that watch tan?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll always have a watch tan, whatever, because I bike with my Apple Watch. So there's that. Speaking of watch, finally got my Moon Swatch.
Yes, you did.
I got that today.
That's really nice and surprisingly cheap feeling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The box is like. Bio-ceramic. Bio meaning recycled.
Yeah.
Ceramic meaning plastic. So, yeah.
You pick it up, it's like negative weight.
Yeah, it's very light. But it looks cool. It says Omega on the dial.
It's all that matters.
That's all that matters. It's the cool hype watch.
Dude, you're like two steps away from like going to the Korean boot or no, the Chinese bootleg store and being like, give me the Rolex.
Actually, this morning, before I walked into work, my watchmaker called me, and he because I
my watchmaker. Look at this guy! Holy shit!
He's like, yo, your Seiko is done. So I went and I paid to get the movement finished, like the insides.
Yeah.
He gave it back to me, and I didn't realize he refinished everything on it. So it came back to me looking like brand new. And I was like,
what the fuck?
Whoa.
And he's like, it's on me.
I'm like, you even did the bracelet? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what he doesn't know is I never wear the bracelet. I only put it on there because...
So you can give it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't want to give him like a strap that I liked for another watch. I was like, I put it all in the original stuff. But he like refinished everything. I'm like, all my scratches are gone.
How did you do that?
Yeah, I was like... And then I kind of felt like, huh.
Do I pay him more?
No, it was one of those things where it's like, you know how a lot of people like vintage stuff because it has...
It's got the time. It's got the wear.
It has patina, right? Yeah. It has the stories. It has the character. He basically erased that, right? Like, this is a watch I've had for...
Dude, but you love new shit.
Almost. I know. So I look at it. I'm like, well, should I just sell it now?
I guess if you're not going to wear it, why not?
Yeah, because like it's worth way more now. And I'm like, ah.
Dude, collectibles. I know. Watches are collectible.
But yeah, that was that. That was my week as well. But before we go, we do have a question to chew on.
Before you even do that, I forgot something I did in my week.
What?
I went to go see a concert.
You did on the Rogers outage.
Yeah. During the Rogers outage, I went to go see Roger Waters.
Wow.
Roger Waters is one of the main members of Pink Floyd.
We were talking about this. Yeah. He's not worth seeing.
Dude, what the fuck? He's one of the greatest musicians of our lifetime. What are you talking about?
He's part of one of the greatest rock
He wrote all those songs.
He didn't perform all the songs.
He performed most of them.
He didn't perform them all in his entirety.
So Roger Waters, if you don't, he's like one of the most legendary guitar players, rock stars in the world.
Is he?
He is.
If you say so.
I know so. And he came on his little This Is Not a Drill tour. Me and my dad bought these tickets back in either late 2018.
Oh, you went with your dad.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Either late 2018, early 2019. And then it got delayed. And then pandemic. Yeah. And we finally got to see him. And Roger.
Where was it at?
The Rogers Center.
Oh.
No. It was at the Scotiabank.
I was like, what?
No. It was at the Scotiabank
arena.
Okay. And he's very, in his older age, he's been very outspoken in his political beliefs.
I think all rock stars are.
Pretty much. And this concert opens up with, the show will begin in 5 minutes. If you are one of those, I love Roger and I love Pink Floyd, but I can't stand his political takes,
please leave.
You must, it will be best for you to fuck off to a bar right now.
Oh, no.
And the whole show was, like, every single song, especially his new stuff, and every single video that went along with all the older songs he played in Pink Floyd, were so politically charged, but it never felt performative. Like, I could feel behind, he believed in every single one of these.
I think if you have that kind of outlook,
you gotta
sell that shit.
You gotta live it.
Yeah.
You gotta live it. And all of the kind of video accoutrement.
He
put on along with the songs. Like, he did his research. And whether or not you agree with his takes, the man is walking the talk, basically. Yeah. And I kind of respect that. But it was a fantastic concert. I will say it had reminded me of why I don't really go to big concerts of very famous people, because there are a lot of assholes who go to these shows. We had really good seats. It was just above floor.
Yeah.
So we're still in like the elevated area, but we were right beside, on the edge. We could see into the sound stage.
Oh, that's cool.
So we could see all the engineers doing all their stuff,
mixing soundboards and doing their shit. Yeah.
We got to see Roger come out of the tunnel way, and like, he was singing like in secret in that area before he actually went on stage and stuff. It was really cool. But it was crazy because at the beginning of the show, he's like, please turn your phones off. You can take some pictures. If you do take pictures, no flash, but try not to be on your phone the whole time.
I don't think that's a unreasonable request.
I swear to God, the people who were on their phones the most were the boomers. Like, the people who you would, like, they'd be on a Facebook page being like, kids today are connected to their phones more than ever, when their childhood hero told them, hey, live in the moment, they were like, nah, what if I take flash pictures during the pitch black section? And what if I'm just going to scroll my phone randomly on Twitter with full brightness blasted so everyone behind you gets blinded by your phone? It was crazy.
Have you been to a sporting event recently?
No.
Ah.
No, I have not.
Because it's just it's about the same, if not worse.
And then, like, people would stand up to, like, get pictures and get better angles. And, like, the slightest inconvenience. If you were over 40, if someone stood up for, like, a fraction of a second, they're like, can you sit the fuck down? You're blocking my – I paid good money for, like, instant entitled mode. It was crazy. It was insane. And it just reminded me of just, like, this is why I don't go see – the big boys, because these people are insufferable and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough to, like, sit through that kind of shit. Yeah.
Especially when the content of the concert or of what you're watching is so serious, right? Because, like, Pink Floyd, their songs ever since the 70s have had a message about corporate greed and government oversight and all this other shit. And then when they're they're talking about there's a great line in one of the songs. It's would you rather be a walk-on role in a war or be the lead role in a cage, right? And it's basically like, would you rather be a small cog in something great, or yeah, would you rather be the main star in nothing? And I swear to God, the irony was lost on all these people when they're staring into their iPhones or taking selfies of a concert to put to their, like, 10 friends on Facebook rather than be a part of the concert and, like, listen to what he's saying. And I'm just like, God damn, kid.
But they paid good money. Okay?
The boomers are out in full force, dude.
Listen, man, they paid good money for those seats. They're going to take them damn pictures.
I guess. I turned off my phone.
Why aren't you being a bigger man?
I don't know. If the star has that much to say, you know, I'll listen.
Okay.
Right. But yeah, we did get some good picks. We weren't egregious about it. I remember, at least my dad got some good picks.
Of course, dad's a boomer.
Exactly. I think the next day, some guy had recorded the whole concert from front row and just uploaded it to YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a little bit depressing to see that going around. It's like, oh, this is the cool art generation. All right, whatever.
Hell yeah.
The stars are still cool, but the people who consume it aren't the best.
Well, what are you going to do?
But yeah, it was overall a good concert. He put on a fantastic show. It was well worth my money.
That's good to hear. You took the going?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, took it from Aldershot. Going back was, woo, baby.
I bet.
So, because there was also a Keith Urban concert.
What?
At the same time? At the same time, at a different arena.
I mean, I guess, yeah, different audiences, but still, I mean.
And so we're going back, and it was a bus full of Pink Floyd boomers and then young Keith Urbanites.
Wow.
Coming in, doing fucking honky-tonk, whatever.
Wow.
The bus was packed.
I bet.
I there was some yelling going on in some of the cars, and they had to stop one station before where we parked because someone had a medical emergency. Mm. And so they just, like, this train has stopped indefinitely. Wait for another train. It's like, God damn.
Damn, that's wild.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That reminds me of a story because I remember it was also Amazon Prime Day.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked deals, whatever. Mm-hmm. I bought some stuff. I think Amazon ran out of boxes.
Probably.
I bought a Transformer.
Yeah.
I want to show you how it arrived.
Tell me.
On my driveway.
On your driveway.
Like, not in a mailbox.
Okay.
On my driveway.
Okay.
Like, you know how my driveway has a step and then there's another step into the glass enclosure? It's the step.
That's,
like,
crazy.
Before.
You couldn't even open the door.
No, I mean.
No, they couldn't even open the door.
No, they didn't get that far.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's not on the step. Okay. It's on the level where the cars are.
Okay.
This is how they sent it to me.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine? So basically, it's basically you look at a product you would pick up off the shelf and you slap the label.
They slapped it over, like,
over the window.
The window.
Yeah. Like, I don't care about boxes. I don't really care.
But if you cared about boxes, this is fucked.
So, like, it's not so much that.
It's ripped. It's dented. It's torn. There's a sticker on the cardboard.
Yeah. But
there's a hole in the back.
Yeah. I'm just happy it showed up 5 minutes before I got home. Because the thing is, if you don't have a box, because mind you, this wasn't the only thing that was delivered.
Yeah.
Like I had an order of a lot of stuff, but nothing was in boxes. It was just each item had a label,
shipping label on it. Yeah.
And it's like, if I were 13 or 14 walking home,
I'd steal
and
that
I
shit.
Saw that on someone's driveway, yeah. I'd fucking swipe that like no tomorrow.
So easy.
Right?
You, like, you just check, do they have the video doorbell?
Yeah.
No?
Sick. No, like no hesitation. I would do it.
Yeah, we were right? All little shits, you know what?
Exactly. So it's just, I wish they would have put it in a box, but...
Would I understand if a kid stole that? Yes.
Yeah.
Would I prosecute the shit out of it?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. Bring down the hammer, kid.
Man, what's that? You wanted to have an education and a fruitful
dude,
life?
Dude, welcome to jail. Give me that Cybertron.
Yeah, you want that criminal record? Yeah, fuck you.
All right, either here, I'm gonna call the cops, or I'm gonna kick you in the balls as hard as I can.
Oh my God.
Pick.
You choose.
You choose
your future or your future children.
Let me get my steel toes. Hold on.
Okay, cool. Anyways, Paul Chu writes in with a question to Chu on. Are you guys big into crowdfunding projects?
Ooh, I just answered a question like this recently.
If you're not, why not? If you are, what projects, Kickstarter or otherwise, have you backed? Generally speaking, I'm not the biggest crowdfunding person.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I like security. That's okay. A lie. I like to risk it all sometimes.
You do. I was going to say, do you want me to call you out on this or not?
Sometimes, because hey, Kickstarter or crowdfunding projects, like you're out there on a hope and a prayer that this thing is going to be awesome.
Yep.
And honestly, I just don't believe in a lot of projects, especially it's like, this is my first time doing it. I know what the market wants. And it's like, no, no, no.
You're going to be on the bleeding edge.
Absolutely. Like, I get it. We're all passionate. We think we know what we need. But then reality sets in and you get into the like, world of actually producing the product you want, and you realize why limitations occur. And
yep.
I'm just not into that unless it's backed by big corp.
Big corp, baby.
That's why I backed the Hasbro Star Saber.
Oh, okay.
Which was like, I think I backed it back in October. I don't know.
Like what, last year?
Yeah. So okay. I'm sure it'll come out
eventually.
Yeah, but anything else small, no. That said, I am all about supporting creators I like. So if, you know, they have, I don't know, like a Patreon or something, and you get some sort of kickback from it in terms of merch or goods,
yep.
I'm down for that. That's cool. But in terms of like full-on crowdfunding, not really my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never done a Patreon or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't do a Patreon now. I've done a Substack.
Yeah. I've never subbed to a Twitch viewer or anything. I have backed exactly 5 products on Kickstarter. 2 of them either dog shit or failed. 1 of them is okay. And then 2 of them are really good.
Oh, I thought you were saying that 1 of them was Shenmue.
Shenmue's the dog shit one. So I backed Shenmue 3. And this is probably the worst experience I've ever had with a crowdfunded thing. They blew past their record, first of all.
Bro, it's Shenmue, of course. Was there any doubt?
Yeah, like the first day they had like fucking triple what they asked for.
Yeah.
And they hit so many backer goals that you're like, okay, they have the funds. They did not have the funds because Yu Suzuki is crazy. This game got delayed like 2 years. It was like you could get the exclusive physical edition exclusive backer cover and whatever.
Oh,
and blah,
I
blah,
remember.
Blah.
Yeah, you were sold.
And I was like, sick, I'll do that. If like this is the only way to get physical, it was not. They eventually brought it to all retailers. They got multiple different publishers to give them more money than what the Kickstarter did. They gave me the physical edition of the game. You know, it was the exact same cover as the retail version.
Yeah.
Just in like a cardboard slipcase that said Shenmue 3 on it.
Huh.
And then not only did they do that, after they released it, like a couple months later, they teamed up with Limited Run Games and brought out a cooler version.
Oh, did they really?
Of the game. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This is so bad. It almost like unsold me on crowd backing, but I backed, what is it, the Flip Grip for.
What's the flip grip?
The flip grip was a. It's such a niche thing. I can't believe I bought this. You know how like the Switch has the two slots on the side so you can play it in handheld mode, right?
Yeah.
What if you want to play vertically in handheld mode?
Oh.
So the flip grip is a little plastic device where you put the Switch in vertically.
So you play you put the
nunchucks in the side and you have a lengthwise screen and you can play shumps on vertical.
That is so niche.
It's such a sick product though. I love
it. Oh my God.
Like the Switch is my shump machine now. It's so cool. The other good one I had was also the Tanto QRA 10th Anniversary Edition.
That was a Kickstarter?
Yeah, it was an all-foil version of the base game.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool. I also backed, was it this new Swery 65 game, The Good Life? I backed the physical version. I have had the digital version for a while. I'm still waiting on my physical goods.
Okay.
Because of all the pandemic shit. I haven't played it yet. I guess just because I'm waiting for the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only one I failed was the Parappa the Rapper team tried to make a new game called Project Rap Rabbit. And
Project
Rap. I backed like the second highest tier of that game because I was so excited.
Yeah.
Where it was like the super special edition with a vinyl soundtrack. And I was like, this is going to be sick. And it made it to like 50% of required funds or something. And it just failed. Oh, no, not even that. It made it to, this is a generous 18%, 20% of its required goal. I think the problem with that was they didn't have Big Corp to back them up. So their pledge goal was realistic for what it takes to make a high quality game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it didn't reach it. But
that's a little unfortunate.
Well, that was 2017. Holy shit. That was so long ago. But yeah, I don't know. Crowdfunding to me has been a crapshoot so far. And I haven't been sold on it, but I'm also not like adverse to it.
Yeah, like I'm sure if there was something that really interested me, I probably would just like throw all in.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing of that has come to mind.
Yeah, a lot of board games get funded and stuff like that.
Yeah, the board game scene is actually very lucrative on there.
I think that's actually probably a pretty safe one to do.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of like micro brand watch companies doing it. That's how a lot of watches you see, like a lot of the fashion watches you see today, that's how they all got their start. And that's cool, but that's not really been my thing. So,
dude, do you want deluxe Hanafuda cards?
No.
You sure? Because it's on Kickstarter right now.
No. No. I don't. No.
Well, I tried.
But yeah, Kickstarters are crowdfunding's cool.
They're cool. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I feel like there is something else. Like I don't know. Was the Fidget Cube a Kickstarter?
Probably at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Fidget Spinner was a Kickstarter at some point.
Yeah, right?
Everywhere.
While I didn't back it, hella cool. And I think we got you one year.
I still use it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I'm in meetings online.
Oh, no.
Not in person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I'm in meetings over the internet.
Where you can mute?
Yeah, I can mute. I'm just like, click, 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 so I just don't like fuck off and go on my phone or something.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. No, that's cool. Okay. Wicked. Well, thank you, Freddie and Paul.
Yeah, and that's the show.
That is the show. We will come back 7 days' time, and hopefully I'll have thoughts on Thor.